Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbin from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbin. So glad that you're joining us today. We've been going through the book of Acts, and it's called Acts of Joy, or I've named it Acts of Joy, because if your joy is a little bit low, then I'm hoping that this will help fill you up with the joy of the Lord. You know, there's something about happy drivers. They make out to be better drivers. So if you're driving on the highway and you're not happy right now, you are putting others in danger, right? Happy drivers are better drivers. They are sweeter drivers. And joyful Christians also are better Christians. You know, so many times we get focused on the wrong thing, and because of that, we lose the joy that God intended us to have. And so a couple years ago, the theme of our church was joy. We spent the whole year talking about joy. As a matter of fact, we were so in the joy that year, we even named our school mascot, our guinea pig, Joy. And everything was all about joy. And so you ought to be filled with joy today, because when Jesus died for your sins, he set you free, and you have nothing to worry about. When God has set you free, you are free indeed. So I want to talk to you today from the book of Acts, and we're on Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about joy. And as we look at joy, there's some reasons why we should be most joyful. We should be most joyful because we have a certain future. And as we think about the future that God has given to us as believers, it only gets better for us. The future is always going to be brighter for us. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." They were waiting. Jesus promised them 10 days prior to the day of Pentecost, as he ascended up into heaven. We talked about that yesterday in the broadcast, and he promised them that the Holy Spirit was going to come. For 10 days, they're waiting for the Spirit. Finally, on the day of Pentecost, this is 50 days after Easter. This is an anniversary celebration, an annual celebration that was given. It was a feast that was given to the nation of Israel when they received the law. It took place 50 days after the harvest, which is 50 days after Passover or after Easter. You see, Jesus was crucified on Passover. That is why he's called the Passover Lamb. He rose again 3 days later. He ascended 40 days after Passover. That was his ascension. And then the Holy Spirit descended 50 days after Jesus rose again from the dead. That is Pentecost. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 15 says, "From the day after the Sabbath, the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offerings, count off 7 full weeks." All right, 7 times 7 is 49. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath. That's adding one extra day. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. This is called the grain offering. Leviticus chapter 23. It is then that these events are putting into place. Moses coming down off of the mountain in Leviticus chapter 23. And then in Exodus chapter 24. And he's receiving the law as he's coming off of that mountain. Both of these events, the day of Pentecost in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, signify redeeming God's people. The Exodus marked the birth of the Israelite as a nation, while the day of Pentecost events in Acts chapter 2 marks the birth of Christianity. You see, both of these events involve God's people receiving a gift. In the Old Testament, on the day of Pentecost, they got the Torah. In the New Testament, we received the Holy Spirit. In both events, the gift was given by God, settling on the mountain with a fire of the Holy Spirit. Both events took place at the same place, at the same time, on the same month. Isn't that amazing? As a matter of fact, when Jesus comes again, he's coming back to that same place. Number 6, the Israelites left Egypt on Passover, and 40 days later, they arrived in Sinai. Then Moses went up on the mountain to see God. He's up on Mount Sinai. 10 days later, Moses comes down with the Torah and the Israelites, and they broke the covenant, and 3,000 people died as a result. Tragic event. Jesus died on Passover, and 40 days later, he went up into the mountain to see God on the Mount of Olives. 10 days after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came down to the earth, and not 3,000 people died, but 3,000 people were saved. 50 days after sacrificing that Passover lamb, the Israelites received a covenant from God. These are the Ten Commandments. 50 days after sacrificing Jesus, our Passover lamb, believers received a new covenant from God. That's why there's the old covenant, which is the Old Testament, and there's a new covenant. The old covenant had to do with law. The new covenant had to do with grace. Both events had similar sounds and symbols of wind and fire and smoke and voices. And the Hebrew word translated there is thunder, and meaning that it was voices being heard in different languages and in different voices. Now think about this in light of Acts chapter 2. We see the disciples and they're speaking in different languages. People thought they were drunk. People thought they were crazy. Number 9, the fire at Sinai was one fire visible by all. And the fire on the day of Pentecost was also a fire that took place, but individuals saw that. In the event of Mount Sinai, the people were kept away from that fire, but in Acts, that fire came to the people. Both events had theophanies. That is, God showed up in a different form. In both events, God gave his law to his people, and in both cases, he sealed that covenant that he made with them. At Sinai, he gave the law written by his finger on the tablets of stone. At Pentecost, he gave the law written on the tablets of their hearts. In both events, there was a mixed multitude of people represented there. The Torah attempting to change the people from the outside in, the Holy Spirit doing just the opposite. The Holy Spirit trying to change us from the inside out. As you think about these two events, it is unbelievable when you think what happens. Let's focus on the New Testament aspect of what happens when a person becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. Several things take place that are very noteworthy, okay? Let me give them to you real quick. When we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, why are we spending so much time talking about this subject? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will sustain you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 26, it says, no wonder my heart is filled with joy and my tongue shouts out his praises, for I know all that will be well with me in death. So here we see a promise that is given to us. As followers of Christ, we are filled with joy. Our tongues should be praising God continuously. Why? Because we know that everything's going to be okay for us. Even if we should die, it is well with our soul. Well, let's look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit is involved in. Now, I know a lot of people sometimes, they're afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because they're afraid that if they spend too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit, people are going to start doing crazy things, right? Well, they had the same thing at the day of Pentecost. They thought those people were crazy. But look what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, we see the Holy Spirit involved in creating. Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth and all that is there within. We also learned that the Trinity was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth. That's why God said when he created man, let us make man in our own image, in the image of God, let us make man. Secondly, we see that the Holy Spirit is also involved in revealing things to us. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts you when you do wrong. It is the Holy Spirit that draws you into salvation. 2 Peter 1:21 says that prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the word of God was given to us by the Spirit of God moving on holy men through his Spirit. Number 3, the Holy Spirit is involved in saving people. This is such a powerful verse. I wish every believer would commit this verse to memory. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father has sent me, draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. So here we see Jesus driving home the point that the Father draws people into salvation. He does it by the Holy Spirit. Number 4, the Holy Spirit is involved in actually indwelling us as believers. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8. He says, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you can't be a believer in Christ without the Spirit of God taking up residence within you. If you think you know Christ and the Spirit of God is not living within you, according to this verse, you are not belonging to Christ. Number 5, the Holy Spirit is involved in transforming us. Have you ever tried to go on a diet and you couldn't lose that weight? Why? Because that was an act of the flesh. You didn't need to be reformed, you need to be transformed. The Bible talks about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, the longer that you're a follower of Christ, the more you look like Jesus, the more you resemble him. Number 6, the Holy Spirit is involved in filling us. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and then on to verse 22 and 24. But if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under law. You see, the law could not do anything about bringing about redemption. The law just pointed out the fact that we were law breakers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. Now, this is what ought to be residing within you. If you know Jesus Christ, if you're a Spirit-filled believer, you ought to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If these things are not in your life, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 7, the Holy Spirit will also give us the ability to overcome. Too many people wrongly think that we are a victim of our sin, and we're just going to continue to follow into sin. You know, you can overcome sin. And I know we're going to slip up from time to time, but whenever we fall into sin, it's because we are not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, and now the works of the flesh are evident. So here's what Paul is telling us. There's this battle going on. Every one of us face this battle who are followers of Christ. There's the new nature, the old flesh, and the new spirit. They're at battle with one another. And how do I know which one's going to win? Well, whichever one I feed, whichever one I surrender to. I like the old Indian who said this, I have two dogs in me. One's a good dog, one's a bad dog. Whatever dog I feed is a dog that controls me. If I feed the bad dog, he controls me. If I feed the good dog, he controls me. The same is true with the believer. If you feed the old nature, the old flesh, then this is what's going to be in your life. And Paul gives us a list. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. The works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, that's witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and of the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying if you're not a follower of Christ, you can't overcome these things. You are giving into these things. They are part of your life because you're not born again. Your life hasn't been filled with the Spirit of God. Well, number 8, we also learned that the Holy Spirit is involved in gifting us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts in several places. Ephesians chapter 4. Here we see 1 Corinthians 12. It says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And then he says there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, these gifts that we receive are given to us by the Spirit, although we may have different gifts. There's differences in ministries, but the same Lord. You see, God gives us these gifts, and we should be using these gifts to glorify Him and to build up the church. Well, number 9, the Holy Spirit is also involved in sending. And this is so important. The Holy Spirit sends us out as missionaries. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth. Well, last but not least, here is the 10th function of the Holy Spirit, and that is to bring glory. Glory to God. Ephesians 1 talks about this, glorifying God because we're a messenger of truth. The gospel, you know, every time you share the gospel, you glorify God and you are sealed with Him by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we are given this opportunity to glorify God. It says that we are His possession and He owns us because He paid for us. And we sing His praises and we sing His glory. So the early church overcame lack of joy by being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were confident in their past because they realized that the Spirit of God was going to redeem them. They were also confident that they worshiped together. When they came together on the day of Pentecost, they came and worshiped. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with joy of your presence. Then we drop down to verse 46. It says that they worship together regularly in the temple each day. Now, you think it's bad to have church once a week. They had church every day. And when they weren't at church, they were meeting in groups and in homes for communion. And they shared their lives together by having meals together. And there was great joy and great thankfulness. So maybe one of the reasons that your joy is lacking is because you're not consistent in worship. You know, every time you worship together, the Spirit of God shows up. As you think about the Spirit of God showing up, it doesn't matter what kind of difficulties you're going through. When the Spirit of God shows up, you're okay. Oswald Chambers says this, crisis always reveals a person's true character. So what crisis are you going through right now? They handled the crisis because they were united and they were filled with joy. Joy of your Holy Spirit presence. You know, it's amazing to me to see what God can do with a handful of Spirit-filled, joy-driven, united people. They were also celebrating together in fellowship. They didn't just worship together, but they fellowshiped together. And we learn from the book of Acts that they enjoyed baptizing together. The Holy Spirit took control of everyone. They began speaking in different languages as the Spirit led them. They're also very generous in sharing. So here we see the reason the early church was so filled with joy is they worshiped constantly. They fellowshiped together, but they also were generous. They generously shared. They actually did communal living. And I'm not suggesting this, but I think that as followers of Christ, we need to be much more generous in sharing and reaching out to the needs of others. Because they shared, they had that power to witness. They had that power to serve. And the last thing that we see about this church in Acts chapter 2 is that their hearts were filled with gratitude. The whole rest of the chapter from Acts chapter 2 verses 5 down through 13, we see that they're amazed and they're perplexed, but yet they have grateful hearts. There were some that were coming against them that doubted their work. They thought they were drunk, but they never lost their joy. You know, too many Christians now, when somebody comes against them, all of a sudden they have lost their joy. Just because somebody has come against you. Listen, people can't give you joy. People can't take it away from you. Don't let them rob you of your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have joy in Him, for Him, and through Him. What is the third reason that we can see why this early church was so powerful and was so united and so filled with joy is that they were charged by conviction. They had a conviction that the church existed not for them, but the church existed so that they could witness to others. They understood what Paul said to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us run this race, stripping off every weight that slows us down, especially that sin that so easily trips us off. And they realized that their job was to get the word out, was to share the gospel. You see, when Jesus was alive, it was testified by the prophets and by Peter and by the people, but it's also testified here by the presence of the Holy Spirit. One of the proofs that Jesus was alive, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again, is that when he ascended on high, he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit came upon them, they were charged and changed by some convictions, and that was, life is not about me. It is now about glorifying God in everything that I do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel wherever I go. We also learned that they kept their joy intact because they were changed by communion. You know, the church walked together in the Spirit. They did everything together. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and it says they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were constantly praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And it says that the Lord added to their church, to their number daily, those who were being saved. Now, isn't this unbelievable? When you think about sharing the gospel and doing community together, that is where we find joy. So I always have a challenge whenever I have a message. And my challenge to you today is find somebody that you can invite to go to church with you. Find somebody, even if you have to do it online, say, hey, would you watch the church service with me online? Find somebody that you can share the gospel with this week. You know, God has given you everything that you need to share the gospel. You may be listening to me and say, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot of Bible knowledge. I don't have a whole lot of experience in God's word. Listen, if you've been born again, that's all you need to know. You just tell others what Jesus did to you. You were lost, but now you're found. You know, a powerful testimony can be given in about 3 minutes. 1 minute you spend talking about, this was my life before Christ came into my life. I was a mess. Now, don't spend too much time about that. Too many times people will tell their testimony and they make the whole testimony about their life before Christ. Listen, spend a minute on that. This is my life before Christ. I was a mess. I was messed up. But secondly, spend a minute saying, I had a relationship with Christ. Somebody shared with me about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and I received that free gift of salvation, and my life was radically transformed. I became a new creation in Christ. I was done with the old, and everything became new. And then spend that last minute talking about what God has done for you since then. If you've been saved any length of time, you can attest to the fact that God's been mighty good to you. God may have put your marriage back together. He may have put your finances back together. He may have given you good health. He may have healed you. You know, there's so many things happen to us when we become followers of Christ. We could write volumes of books about things that God has done for us as a result of being converted. I want you to know, if you invite people to church, they're going to come. You invite 10 people, you might get one. You share the gospel 7 times, you might get one person who is interested. So be involved in knowing that God wants you to carry out that mission of sharing the gospel with other people. When you think about sharing the gospel, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Now, and I know that everybody's going to heaven because of Jesus. That's the only way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than Jesus Christ. I understand that. But Jesus uses people to proclaim the message of the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear if we don't tell them? Is there anybody going to be in heaven going to come up to you and says, hey, man, I am so glad you shared the gospel with me. I'm here because you shared the good news of Christ with me. Is anybody going to do that to you up in heaven? Oh, I hope there's at least one person. I hope there's many more than one person. Well, you know, 95% of Christians never lead another person to Christ. Isn't that a shame? Can you imagine what would happen if the church got really excited about sharing our faith? And everybody says, I'm going to commit to reaching one person in this year for Christ. We would turn the world upside down. You know, D.L. Moody said this, if I could go down to my grave and have it honestly written above, he did what he could, I would rather have that as a monument than gold reaching up into heaven. Do you agree? You did what you could. You know, God puts us in connection with people. And he puts us in connection with people so that we can share the good news of Christ. As you're listening to this broadcast, you have a circle of influence of at least 6 people. There are at least 6 people that will be greatly impacted by your demise. If you were to die today, at least 6 people will be grieving over your death. Do those 6 people know Christ? Will you use that circle of influence to share the love of Christ with them? You know, you don't want to go through life and get to the end of your life and say, man, I have so many regrets. I wish I had done more for the cause of Christ. You know, I've never met anybody who has said to me, you know what? I got to the end of my life and I think I did too much for Jesus. I wish I hadn't done so much for Jesus, right? I've never had that happen. I've had many people tell me, man, I wish I was more faithful to the church. I wish I gave more to the church. I wish I invested more in my family. I wish I could have told them more about what Christ has done in my life. I wish I was more intentional about sharing the gospel. Listen, you can live a life without regret. Every day, wake up and say a simple little prayer. Say, Lord, today's a new day. And Lord, would you give me the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody today? And Lord, secondly, as I look for this opportunity, would you give me the discernment to see who that person is? Lord, I want to share the gospel with somebody who's really interested in hearing the gospel. And I don't want my gospel message to be like a pearl cast before the swine. I want the message to be given out and I want it to be well received. And then pray thirdly, Lord, as I go about my day and as you reveal this person to me that I'm to share the gospel with, Lord, would you give me that boldness to open up my mouth? Sometimes it's hard to open up your mouth and sometimes you lack the courage that you need, but say, Lord, would you give me that strength that I need and the words that I need to say? And may I say it appropriately as fitting for the occasion? May I say words that are uplifting? I don't want to be all awkward and kind of weird. You know, you've all been in those situations where somebody says something and says, well, that was kind of weird what they just said. That was kind of out of place. You don't want to be that way when you're sharing the gospel. It can be a supernatural experience as you're sharing the gospel with somebody. As you are connecting with them, God will do the work ahead of you. That's why every day we pray, Lord, give me that opportunity to share the gospel today. And as you look for those opportunities, God will open them up for you. So Lord, as we close off our broadcast today, we come before you as mere mortals, lacking the power that we need to live life to please you. So we pray that the Spirit of God will fill us, that we will have the joy of the Lord, that we will go out and we'll tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ, that we won't be ashamed of the gospel. And Lord, we don't want to be weird about it either, but help us to go out and plant seeds. Help us to go out and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Help us to do it with boldness and help us to do it in a way that is following in obedience to you. We trust you that you're going to guide us. Thank you for giving us the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.